Braisa continues and says that for the sin of delaying judgment, of corrupting judgment, of not being thorough in judgment, and for bittul Torah, Yidden suffer attacks and looting and plagues and hunger come. People eat and are not satisfied, and people eat their bread by weight, meaning people jointly bake bread with scarce resources and it crumbles, so they weigh piece against piece. For the avera of taking unnecessary oaths or false oaths, chilul Hashem and chilul Shabbos, wild animals become more numerous, domesticated animals are destroyed, human population decreases, and the roads become deserted. For the avera of shvichas damim, the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, and the Shechina removes itself from Klal Yisrael. For the avera of gila arayis, avoid the zara, and not keeping shmita and yovel, Yidden are sent into Golis, enemies throw us out of our land, and other nations settle in our land. The Aveir of Nivel Peh, Tsaris increase, new and harsh decrees are placed on us, Eden. Young men die, and orphans and widows call out, and they're not answered. Chanan Bar Rava says for Nivel Peh, even if someone had a good decree for 70 years of goodness that was supposed to come on him, it can be changed to bad. Rabbi Ashil, in the name of Chizda, says such a person has Gehenim deepened for him. Nachum Yitzchak said this is true even for someone who hears the speech and doesn't protest it. Rabbi Shaya says someone who clears his schedule to be able to do Averis, which Tamar Shah says refers to Gilai Royas, he has wounds come around those whole body, and he gets the Hadroikin disease. Raisa said there are three causes of Hadroikin. When Hadroikin comes for a punishment for an Avera, then it comes, the skin becomes thick. When it becomes because of hunger, because someone who hasn't eaten, then it comes with swelling. And when it comes through Kishif, the skin is thin. Shmuel HaKotan once got Hadroikin, and he davened to Hashem. He said people are going to think he got it for an Avera of doing Gilai Rois, and because people won't know the difference between the Hadroikins. And because of that, he was cured. When Abaya got Hadroikin, Rava said it's obviously because Abaya deprives himself of food, so that's why the Hadroikin came. When Rava had Hadroikin, the Gemara says it was because he would hold himself back and go into the bathroom because he was busy with his Talmidim. Raisa says there are four simon, and the simon for Gilai Rois is someone who has Hadroikin. The simon for Simas Chinam is someone who has Yeroikin. Simon for Gaiva is someone who lacks Torah knowledge. Simon for Lashon Hara is the Askara disease. Raisa says that Askara comes for not keeping the Halachas of Maiser. Rabbi Yossi says that it comes for the aver of Lashon Hara. And this is explained by a Bryce. To me, there are a lot of Bryce who says that actually it comes for Lashon Hara as well as for the someone, for not properly keeping Hilchas Maaser. Bryce says that when the Rabbanan went to Yavna, the question was posed, why does Askara begin in the intestines and it ends in the throat? So Rabbi Yehuda, who was the Rosh HaMedabrim B'chol Mokoyim, the Gemara will explain later, he answered because the thoughts at the cause of the bad speech, they begin inside in the kidneys of the heart, and then the speech is finalized and spoken out by the mouth. That's why it starts on the inside, it comes out, and then it ends up in the mouth, in the throat. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi says it comes from eating food without having properly given meiser, and that's why it starts. That's why it's in the stomach and the throat are both involved. Rabbi Shimon says Askara comes because of bittul Torah. Women get it because they cause the bittul Torah of their husbands. Goyim get it because they cause the bittul Torah of the Yidden. Children get it because they cause the bittul Torah of their fathers. And even children are learning themselves get it as a kapara for the generation. Mark gives the story of why Rabbi Yehuda was called a Rosh HaMedabrim B'chol Mok and why he was always the first to get permission to speak. Mark says it once happened that Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon were all sitting together, and Yehuda ben Geirim was there as well. Rabbi Yehuda was praising the Romans for making marketplaces, the bridges, and the bathhouses. Rabbi Yossi sat quiet. Rabbi Shimon said, they did it all for themselves to allow themselves pleasure and averis. Yehuda ben Geirim went and repeated this conversation, and eventually it was told over to the Roman officials. And the Roman officials decreed that Rabbi Yehuda, who praised the Romans, he should be elevated, he should become the Rosh HaMedabrim B'chol Mokrim. Rabbi Yossi, who remained quiet, he should be put in Golis. Rabbi Shimon, who disparaged them, he should be put to death. So Rabbi Shimon by Yechoy, and he went with his son, with Rabbi Lozer, and they went and they hid in the Beis Medrash, where his wife would bring him bread and water every day. But when they searched for them, it intensified. They were afraid that they would the wife would give in to some to torture and tell them where they are, so they ran away and they hid in a cave. Hashem made a nace, and there was a buckshot tree that grew up in the cave, and a spring of water was created there as well. So to preserve their clothing while they were in the cave, they would remove their clothing and learn a whole day when they were buried in sand up to their necks. They would put on their clothing only just for the kavod tefillah to daven in. After 12 years, Eliyahu Navi stood at the entrance of the cave and let them know that the Caesar had died, and therefore the decree to kill them was annulled. So they left the cave. When they saw people involved in this mundane work, they just couldn't take it, and they couldn't understand how people could do anything but Torah and mitzvah. So wherever they looked, their gaze would burn whatever they were looking at. A Baskel came out and said, "You left the cave to destroy my world? Go back into your cave." After another 12 months, again they left. This time, anything that Rabbi Lazar looked at and burned with his gaze, Rabbi Shimon would heal with his gaze. They then saw an older man running with two bundles of hadassim for Shabbos. They asked him, what's Pshat? You need two. One's enough. He said, one's for Shammah, one's for Zachar. Rabbi Shimon told his son, you see, look how beloved the mitzvahs are to Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Pichas ben Yaru, who was Rabbi Shimon's father-in-law, or possibly his son-in-law, depending on how you learn Pshat, went out to greet them. He took them to the bathhouse and he saw that their skin was all cracked from the years of being buried in the sand, and he cried and he said, woe is to me that I see you like this. Rav Shimon said, lucky are you to see me like this, because if not for this, I wouldn't be who I am today. Because originally, Rav Pinchas B'Yar, anytime Rav Shimon would have a question, Rav Pinchas B'Yar would answer with 12 answers. Now, when Rav Pinchas B'Yar had a question, Rav Shimon would be able to answer with 24 answers. Rav Shimon felt the need that since the nes was done for him, that he should do something for the klal. He went to ask, and he heard that there was an area that Kahanim couldn't enter because it was a suffolk weir in this large area. There were mason that were buried. And he went ahead and was able to figure out where the mason were buried, making it that the Kahanim then could walk around anywhere except for where the mason were buried, and that's what he did, the Torah Klal. Then went and they saw Yehuda ben Gerim, and he said, you're still alive? And he went and he died on the spot. Yehuda ben Gerim died.